Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Hi, this is Brenda.
Hey, Miss Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Brenda.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying out my new earplugs that have the microphone in them.
Ooh, that's always fun. Sometimes I have that, and sometimes it creates echoey, but you don't sound echoey at all.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually at work putting my makeup on as we talk.
Nice. That's cool. Well, if it works out well, we'll have to know what brand those are.
They're actually the ones that came with the iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know where mine is at that.
Me neither.
Aw. Of course, Rachel, you and I have had our phones for like 8 years, it feels like.
I agree. I have no clue where my headphones are even at. Anything.
Yeah, that would be...
I had to hide mine or I wouldn't have them because my kids go through them fast. And so I got me one of those little 31 bags, the little string bag where it has a drawstring in it. I keep it in there so I can keep up with it.
That's a great idea. I usually keep a pair in my workout bag, so that would be a good place for me. I think I know where mine are. I have a pretty good idea. I keep pretty much everything like that together, but... Yeah, kids tend to leave them in their pockets, and they get washed, and you name it, right? Who else joined us? I heard another.
I couldn't tell you how many stones we've washed.
How many what?
Stones, rocks that we've washed.
Stones?
Stones, rocks.
Wow.
Yeah. Caleb finds rocks everywhere and puts them in his pockets.
Oh, that's funny.
He collects rocks.
At least they're clean rocks now.
This is true.
I mean, you could find dirty, muddy rocks, but at least they're clean when you find them.
Yes, because they've gone through the wash because we forgot they're in his pockets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always told my kids, whatever's left in your pockets, I get first dibs on, so any cash that was left there, it was mine. It was my tip for doing laundry.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yep, that was the fun part. Did I hear somebody else ding in or no? If not,
yeah, Judy.
Oh, hey, I didn't hear you say Judy. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How is Florida? Are you back or are you still in Florida?
No, we're still in Florida.
Whoa,
it's an hour earlier here.
It's 3 hours earlier here. It's 4 a.m. in Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
Woo!
I forgot you were in Las Vegas. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I forgot, too.
Did you just stay up all night?
I should have. Well, I went to bed about 11:45 there, like Las Vegas time. So I'm like, this is the decision point. Do I just stay up? Or do I get a little bit of sleep? And I thought, I probably should get a little bit of sleep considering we start the meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. It probably wouldn't hurt to get a little bit of sleep.
Goodness.
It was pretty funny. But I was like, yeah, it's so weird. Boy, Rachel, you were here how many days?
We were there for, I think, 6 days.
Okay. I mean, the first 2 days, I'm like freaked out about what time it is. Like, it's so weird.
getting
acclimated.
On your time.
Yeah.
At the end, you actually, like, switch to their time, and then you get home, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm wired because it's 3 hours behind.
Right. Well, Judy, not Judy, I see that all the time. Julie and Steve were here, I guess, about a month ago, and they were here for a while. I think it was like 12 or 13 days. They were on the West Coast as a whole. They went to Arizona and here and kind of all over. And she said by the time they got back, she was like staying up till 4 a.m. because it was only, 1 o'clock here. So they were so messed up. that would be hard. That would really be hard. I'd be like, oh, what time is it? Okay, well, we are going to go ahead and get started. I know Marcella, I believe, is in Florida as well at a funeral, so she wasn't sure that she was going to call in just based on what was happening there. So, but I do want to touch base with you guys in the sense of what did you think about this chapter? It was kind of
hard,
wasn't it?
It was, I know.
I kept on listening to it and kept on reading it and kept on listening to it and kept on reading it. And I'm like, wow, you know, I know that God wants to, you know, it's the diamond, how a diamond becomes a diamond. A diamond doesn't become a diamond until it's under pressure, right? Mm-hmm. A diamond is just a rock. Hey, you see, Rachel, Caleb is getting diamonds for you. That's what it is. They're just in a raw form before they go under pressure.
That's so sweet.
So it's, you know, it's not a diamond yet because it hasn't gone under the pressure that it takes to become a diamond. And, you know, it just that just kept on, that visual kept on coming back to me with this chapter is that's truly what God is asking of us is he's given us all the capabilities of handling the pressure, but then he also gives us free will of choice to decide where we're going to go and are we going to accept and take the pressure and make the decisions that make us more like Christ. And so that was pretty powerful for me. I was like, wow. So am I making those decisions that are similar to what Christ would make, or am I not? You know, am I making a human decision in the sense of what I want out of it? And it's a really hard point to decipher, right? Is, you know, a lot of times I'll say to myself, is this Katie's will or God's will? Which one is it? And so we do second guess ourselves quite a bit. What I loved at the beginning, of course, you're created to become like Christ. And the poem that I had was, or actually it was a prayer, God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and my departing. And that was, you know, I thought it was a really good prayer in the sense of it's pretty much putting every point of what I would use in my day-to-day activity of my body and asking God to be at the point of that before it came out of me as a person. And I know, is anybody else on the phone Catholic or been Catholic? I don't know that we are. Anybody else is? Anyway, in the Mass, there's, before the priest says the gospel, there's an action that Catholics do, and we make the sign of the cross on our forehead, and we make the sign of the cross over our mouth, and we make the sign of the cross over our hearts. And what you say to yourself, you don't say it out loud, but you say it to yourself, and it's, God, open my heart to hear your words. Open my mouth to speak your words after I hear them, and open my heart that your words may penetrate my heart. And being raised Catholic, of course, I think I've gone to Mass a zillion times, not as many as my mother, but I still, to this day, that impacts me every time I do it because it's a reminder that I do need to ask for him to open my mind to hear, you know, just for my mind to capture what he wants of me. So, you know, this week, kind of think about that. Again, it's just a real small sign, kind of like, you know, when they put the ashes on your forehead. So it's a real small sign of the cross. It's nothing major at all over your head, on your forehead, on your mouth, and on your heart. So that was something that I wrote down because that's immediately what I thought of in listening to the chapter. It's just like, wow, yeah, that's exactly what we had always done in church and asking that openness all the time. So, you know, God's ultimate goal for our life is not to be comfortable, but a character development. He wants us to grow up spiritually and become like Christ. And I think I said this when I screamed at y'all to get uncomfortable. God doesn't want us to be comfortable in this life. If he did, we would have no trauma. We would have no issues. We would have no hurts. We would have no failures. He is the Almighty. He can do that. But he doesn't call us to do that. Do you think the crucifixion was just easy and peachy for Jesus? No, it was hard. I know for a fact I couldn't have endured it. It was hard. It was trying. It was difficult. So it's what God calls of us is not to be comfortable on this earth, because we don't need to be here long. We need to be preparing for eternity. And so the uncomfort is what he calls us to be. He calls us to be uncomfortable. He calls us not to stay stagnant, not to be status quo. And that really hit home to me, because, a month ago is when God put that on my heart for y'all to get uncomfortable. And that's not where he calls us to be. And it just has continued to reiterate in my head. And now this all comes around, right, full circle of why. So I love one of the questions that I had is there a word from God that you've received yet you have failed to implement? And this reminded me of a story, well, just stories, and y'all know this, when I was going through DIQ, and it was my least favorite word of all is called obedience. And I definitely call it the O word. I do not like that word. But we're all called to be there. But being obedient is, a very impactful. We talked about that, I guess, last week. It's very impactful, but Christ calls us to be obedient. Are you being obedient in your business? You know, God places certain people on your heart when you openly pray, like I have told you guys, openly pray, Lord, put someone on my heart that I'm supposed to touch today with this opportunity. Don't let it be of me, let this be of you. And give me the strength to open my mouth to speak the words that you need the person to hear to bring them closer to you through this business. Now, that's a great prayer. I love it. It's always helped me, but I have argued with him often when he has put certain people on my heart that I do not want to talk to. Seriously, those people, you know, the chicken list that we talked about on Monday night, those chicken list people, the people you're chicken to talk to, those are the people he puts on your heart. And you're like, seriously, no, I don't think so. And he's not going to give you another name until you are obedient. And remember, delayed obedience is still disobedient. I think that was probably one of the most powerful statements out of this book for me. It's amazing to think that God doesn't punish us for arguing with him. You know, we have free will. He gave it to us. But he does call us to continue on his course, and he will not give us another name until we actually do what he puts in front of us. And that's just, like, so not fair. The other thing that I loved out of this chapter is temptation is a chance to do good. I've never looked at it that way. You know, I've never looked at it as a diamond. You know, it gives me the opportunity to do good rather than evil. It gives me the ability to make the right choice. It gives me the ability to make, it gives me the ability to make the Christ choice. I was like, wow, that's good. I like that. So the Christ choice is the right choice. Are you doing that? Are you allowing your human thoughts, you know, our, again, free will to decide what you want? God doesn't want us to just know about Jesus. He wants us to become like Jesus. And that obedient word is the key. I would say he was very obedient when he was told he was going to be crucified. And he's probably like, really, God? Really, Father? Why? Why do I have to go through that? And, you know, he didn't get punished because he asked why. The other thing that I really, we talked about problems. God gives us problems to build character in our life, because it would be a very boring place if we were all just going along happy as a birds, not having any problems to deal with. Of course, I'll try it for a day or two. But really, if you think about it, it's like, wow, yeah. You know, it does make us who we are. I always say, you know, because of course I hear, oh my gosh, you were so young when you had Mary Beth. And I would say, I was, and it made me who I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. you know, Scott and I talk about everything we went through when we first married, just the tribulations of a blended family and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and just the financial struggles and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, wow, but that made us who we are. And I think if we look at it that way, the struggles that he gives us makes us who we are. It makes us more like him. Then you can see a different light in problems, and they're lighter to deal with. You know, a lot of people are like, come on, problem. I know it's bringing me closer. It's bringing me, you know, to that point. It's giving me an opportunity to make the right choice. It's kind of a weird way to look at it, but it absolutely, I can see that happening. Also, temptations are situations designed by the devil to draw us away from God. God does not create the temptation. That was really an eye-opener for me because being raised, of course, being raised Catholic, but my father's mother was very, very Baptist, a Southern Baptist, and she always had the opinion that, you know, God was, or Jesus, I guess God was a punishing God. You know, if you didn't do something right, you were punished. And the trials and tribulations you were given in your life were considered those punishments. But, you know, what I know is God is not a punishing God. He's not a hateful God. So it was interesting on both sides of growing up to see the fear that certain faith-based or faiths had and the difference in when you didn't have the fear to be confident in your faith. So what does that say about what fear does to us? I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes a big difference for me. Again, God uses trouble to teach us to trust him. God uses temptation to teach us to obey. Oh, I hate that word. Obedience and obey, those are my two least favorite words. And God uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. So when other people do things wrong to us, when they do something against us, he teaches us to forgive them their trespasses. Our Father, okay, that teaches us to forgive. And again, he does all the things he does to make us more like Christ. So we go through exactly what Christ went through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. And that's Romans 8:17. Okay, so if we go through the hard times asking Christ for help, we'll certainly go through the good times with him as well, right? And a lot of times I don't think we do that. I don't think during the hard times we look up as much as we should. We think, okay, we got to handle this. So head tucked down, we're going forward, we're just going to handle it instead of handing it over. Steve, y'all know, I've said this 1,000 times, but I love, he has 2 statements. First, he has faith your fear, F-A-I-T-H, your fear. Not face your fear, faith your fear. And that was, he said that at our unit debut, and that was really impactful for me, and I say it a lot. But then also my dad told me many, many years ago, faith and fear cannot reside in the same body, so it's up to you. You get to decide with your free will of choice which one will stay there. So if you're going to pray about it, pray about it. If you're going to fear about it, go ahead and fear about it. Don't pray about it because you can't do both. It's one or the other. And that was like, wow, okay, I see that now. And that's really impacted me as a person because I do exactly that. I hand it over. And if I'm not willing to hand it over, then I have to keep it all to myself and handle it all alone. And who wants to do that? And that's just a crazy thought. And then God uses trouble to teach us to trust. I think I just said that. He uses troubles to teach us to trust. Think about that. The trials and tribulations. It's not a test. I didn't say he uses it to test us. He uses it to teach us. And so I like looking at the problems and things going on, the trials and tribulations, as, all right, God, what kind of test is this for me today? Because it puts a lighter spin on it. One of the other things I heard in the book that I really, really liked is history is his story. H-I-S-S-T-O-R-I. His story is history. It tells his story. And what is your history? And that's going to have to be a her story. It doesn't spell out the same. But what is it going to be? I'm sorry, I dropped y'all. I dropped the phone. Whoops. Did y'all feel it? Did anybody get hurt? That's one of those troubles, those trials. You just went, wow! Okay, so in the history, he tells us to, we can't ignore temptations. A lot of times, you know, we have the statement, stick our head in the sand. Does anybody here have a tendency to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Stick your head in the sand and just ignore it. Think it'll go away. He tells us we can't do that. Go ahead, Brenda.
I said I've done that for a lifetime.
It's true, too. I mean, it's almost like a coping mechanism, right? But he calls us not to ignore those temptations. That now, and it did say that, you know, in this chapter, it said we can remove ourselves from those temptations. This is a time to remove yourself. I know a lot of times you hear don't run from it, face it. But, you know, a lot of times if you're sitting on the couch watching TV and you're on a true diet situation, diet plan, and that is where you have always snacked and done the worst in decision-making on food, that's not where you want to put yourself again. You've got to change your surroundings and change your behavior to change the outward result. And that's that free choice he gives us to do in being more like him. But sticking our head in the sand and just moving on doesn't solve the temptation issue, because the temptation is going to come back just in a different, greater way. Okay, and then we want to focus on God's plan, not our problems. What is his plan for us? If we focus on our problems, like, for instance, if Jesus was focusing on the cross and the pain that he was in, he would have never done the rest of it. So we need to focus on God's plan, not our problems, because I promise you they're not nearly as great as what he went through. Because the power of focus is huge. I loved this statement. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Oh, how true that is. And that was from a female that was in a Nazi camp. I think she had firsthand views of what focus did for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, yeah. She knew exactly what she was dealing with. All right, so I'm going to open it up to see what you guys got out of it. Was there anything that was extremely impactful for you, or maybe just in the notes we talked about, something that you feel like is a good takeaway?
Well, one of the things that that I read in one of the earlier days of this week's reading was that spiritual growth is about addressing the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, to me, it just kind of showed me how Mary Kay, the principles and everything that Mary Kay is based on, is so biblical and so spiritual.
Absolutely.
I kind of stood out to me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So true, too. Anybody else?
This is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
I just wanted to say, it's funny, I read my Joyce Meyer's Trusting God devotional this morning, and it was about not being stagnant.
Perfect.
I know it. It went right along with that.
It did. Very cool. Rachel, you'll have to go read yours now.
Yes,
like,
I will.
Yeah, I know. Jesus' calling was really good this morning, too. I was like, oh, wow, that's really powerful. I love it when they go hand in hand. It's like, that's what they mean. You know, he really ties it together. All right. Anybody else? Rachel, what did you have any takeoffs?
I did, but I can't think of how it was worded, but sort of like, you know, stretching outside of our comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
being obedient to God. I can't remember the terminology they used, and I thought that kind of was, you know, hit home again, you know, just being uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
giving it to God.
Absolutely. Yeah, God didn't give us a comfort zone. The world did. It is a worldly given thing. It is not God given. Because if it was up to God, we would have no comfort zone, because he doesn't want us to be comfortable here. He wants us to work like crazy to get to heaven, because that's his eternity.
True.
So, right? Anything else?
This is Judy. I like the reminder that we become whatever we're committed to.
Oh, yes. I always love that. Was very powerful. And I think I said this earlier in the study, and I'm
mm-hmm.
probably confusing studies, but I talked about, if you want to know what you value, look at your test book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the same philosophy. It's like, wow, really? And it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they're going to have to now say, look at your credit card statement or your ATM statement, not your checkbook. But it does. It shows you. It shows you what's important to you. And that is absolutely the case, without question. And, you know, I also was reading, and this was pretty powerful, that, you know, in your life being driven, your life is driven by something. So, but there's mainly five. Some people are driven by guilt. Some people are driven by resentment. Some are driven by fear. Others are driven by materialism. And the last but not least, many are driven for the need of approval. And that was like, okay, so what is your need? What do you feel like your need is in what drives your life? Because so often when the need is for approval, to receive approval from people, Joyce Meyer has a book out called Approval Addiction, and I actually have it on my Audible account because it's a really good book, and it's mainly geared for women. And the constant. Brenda, did you listen all the way through to that? The Approval Addiction, or, yeah.
I did listen to that whole book. Is that what you meant?
You did.
Yeah.
You did or you did not? Okay, good.
I did.
Yeah. It's really good, isn't it?
It is.
It is a really good book. So Approval Addiction by Joyce Meyer. It's amazing what we can see in the end when we're looking closely at how our behavior reacts. It really is like, wow. All right. Any other questions about the chapter? If not, I have something I want to close with, but we'll talk about next week's lesson plan if we don't have anything else. Okay. We are next week is going to be ministry is what it's talking about. And it is going to be chapters 29 through 36. And then that's our second to last week. So we are coming to the end, towards the end of the book, but we have some recaps as well. So next week, again, it's going to be, I just love the book because it never fails that wherever I am at the point, it hits home. So wherever, it's just amazing how that's working out, how it's where we need it, when we need it, for all of us in every different way than what you would think. And isn't that funny? That's just how God works. I love that part. It's just who he is. So. Okay, well, if there's no other questions, I want to close with this poem, and I loved this because it was said a lot about what we need to look at and focus on a daily basis versus focusing on our problems. So if you will focus on this versus focusing on your problems, you will see different. Today, I want to write something worth reading, read something worth sharing, say something worth repeating, give something worth giving, choose something worth keeping, sacrifice something worth giving up, go somewhere worth seeing, eat something worth tasting, hug someone worth holding, buy something worth treasuring, cry tears worth shedding, do something worth watching, risk something worth protecting, listen to something worth hearing, teach something worth learning, and be someone worth knowing. And that last statement was just like the, I get it. Hmm. So be someone worth knowing. Are you adding value into other people's lives that you come in contact with? Or are you one of the problems on their list? If you're being Christ-like, then you're adding problems, which is adding a value to them. But if it's a complaining situation, then it's actually deducting from their bank account, their worthiness account, because you're using it up. So let's all try to be someone worth knowing this next week and see if it doesn't change how we think before we say something or do something, because I think we all will be highly impacted by that. So any questions about that? No? All right. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. We're doing good on the 30 minutes, Rachel C. You ask is my
wish. You did. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys. Y'all have a great week. And just beware, you're going to start getting stuff. We start today at 9 o'clock. So get ready. Your phone's going to be like, wow. Bye, guys. I'll see y'all soon.
Bye. Be safe. Have a good time, Katie.
Oh, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Be safe. Caleb wants to say hi.
Oh, is Caleb saying hi?
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. I thought that was you, Mr. Caleb. I hear you're going to be a big brother.
He picked up my phone the other day, and he said, can I call Katie McMahon and just tell her hi? I just want to call her and call her hi.
Oh, how cute. I heard him saying hi, hi. I'm like, this sounds like Caleb.
He said you're going to be a big brother? Yeah.
You're going to be a good big brother, Caleb. I know you are. That is awesome.
He told his teacher at school that he's going to do everything for the baby, that mommy and daddy won't have to do anything.
Wow. That's pretty good.
We're training him right.
No doubt. No doubt. You need to train AJ on that. My best would appreciate it. All right, girl. Have a great day at work. I hope you're feeling okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day in Vegas.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.